Is it? That's yours. Well, that's real bad, ain't it, when the pastor leaves. Amen. You know I'm teasing, buddy. I am teasing. But I got my own timer going, so I'll try. I told him last night, Brother Shane, I knew I had to drive home, go get Jennifer and the girls. And I said, I guarantee you, when I show up anytime thinking I'm going to preach short, get out quick, it'll be the longest sermon of the week. And it probably was. I didn't time it, but I guarantee you, it was probably about the longest. Amen. But hopefully the Lord helped you yesterday somewhere in those services. I know he helped me. Amen. Encouraged my heart. He met with us last night. He met with us yesterday all day. And not because I was the one preaching, by no means, but we'll never go wrong by going back to Calvary. And any time a preacher can stand and go to Calvary and you can leave and say you didn't get help, man, something's wrong with us. Amen. I like to go to Calvary regularly, not because I have to get saved again. Amen. That took place the first time I went. Somebody say amen. But I like to go and remember the moment that he saved me. Now I like to see him high and lifted up. He said if I'd be lifted up, he'd draw all men unto himself. Amen. He's still doing that today. Amen. I bless his name. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Matthew's gospel with me tonight. Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. This been on my heart a couple of days. The Lord used this text a few years ago. I haven't visited with it in a while. The Lord used it when me and Jennifer were going through something personally and trying to have faith and believe God. And it seems like I got some great advice one time, great advice, and I think it's still great advice, and I'll give it to you. Preacher told me, he said, you can have an off day. It'll be okay. He said, and she can have an off day, and that'll be okay. He said, but never have off days on the same day. Any husbands and wives want to say amen right there? It's okay when you're off and her faith will get you through. And it's okay when she's off and you're faithful. Your faith in God can get you through. But if both of you have those days where your faith's both off, it can be hard days. Very hard and trying days. And we were living in a place, maybe I'll get to use it as an illustration in a moment, but we were living in a place where we were praying and begging God for something, and it seemed like he just kept saying no. Anybody ever been there before? I told y'all yesterday, you're going to get honest preaching, so I hope I get honest replies. And if it gets too honest, just let me know and I'll find my place and sit down. But you got a preacher preaching for you this week, and I'm going to try my best to encourage you, but the only way that I know how to encourage you is just to be honest with you. There has been moments in my walk and in my faith in God that I have felt like that me and him just wasn't on the same page. The Bible says you can ask the desires of your heart and that he'd give them to you. And I felt like he wasn't very interested in that at times. Ask and it shall be given unto thee. Now I know, and don't make us teach Sunday school tonight, that it is a whole lot easier to see those things to come to fruition when you are in the will of God and you are asking for the right things. But as a Christian, I feel like I'm a young Christian still. As a young Christian, as a young preacher, I've struggled in those moments when I felt like the more I prayed for it, the more denied I became in my time of prayer. But I got good news for you. If you've ever felt like that, you're not the first one to ever feel like that. Matter of fact, there are instances in our Bible where even people standing face to face with the Lord Jesus received answers from him that they probably were not expecting. This is one of them tonight in Matthew's gospel. The Bible says this, in verse number 21 of Matthew 15, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, notice this, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Would you pray for me this evening? Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you bless the reading of it now. Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts, touch our mind, and touch our mouth. And Lord, do for us as only you can tonight. Lord, it won't be my words. It won't be my preaching. I don't have the ability or the delivery skills to help those that are in need. But Lord, we simply ask, Lord, for that power and that unction that we spoke of last night. And Lord, that you would do the preaching to our hearts. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd forgive us where we've fallen and where we failed you. Lord, we are just old, nasty vessels of clay tonight. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we are washed clean vessels in the eyes of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would use us, Lord, in spite of ourselves tonight. And Lord, we say thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake and glory. And the church said, amen and amen. I want us to notice just for a few moments tonight some faith of this mother. I would say this mama in Matthew's gospel, she probably has a pretty good reputation in our day and hour that we live. I'd say somewhere around Mother's Day, she gets talked about a whole lot. As a preacher would stand and try to encourage the mothers in the house of God on having faith. And I would say that she has been studied on as a great woman of God or great woman of faith in the Bible in this instance in her need with her daughter. And tonight I want to do the very same thing and not just put the application in the hands and in the hearts of the mothers tonight, but I believe it would do us all some good if we had some faith like this mama. There's something about her that I cannot get over, and that is her not willing to take no for an answer. Now, I was raised where when daddy said something and when mama said something, whenever they said it, there was no discussion after what they said. It's a lot different in this day and hour that we live. I like to call it's the bargaining ages that we see now. Where mama says no or daddy says no, and then they leave that mama or that daddy, and then they go to the other, the mama or the daddy. Whoever they got told no by first, they go to the other one and they ask them and see if they can spin it all around. Then the next thing you know, mamas and daddies are going home mad at each other. Can I get a witness right there? When we got told no, it was no. When we got told we'll think about it, it was we'll think about it. Amen. When we got told yes, we shouted glory hallelujah because that was a rare occasion. Amen. And here this mother is tonight, and she seemingly has been told no by the Lord Jesus. Now, y'all help me if I've got this wrong tonight, Pastor Agin, and Preacher, and Brother Shane. I think that I'm right when I say this, but I don't know that I've ever found anybody in the Word of God that has come to him, the Lord Jesus, on this side of eternity during his ministry. The young ruler would be the only one that came to Jesus and left the same way because he was not willing to humble himself and do what the Lord had told him to do. It wasn't Christ's fault, but it was the decision that that young ruler had made that left him empty the way that he showed up. But everybody else in the Word of God, they left differently than how they came, through the power of the Word of God, through the miraculous hand of the Lord Jesus. They received a miracle in their life. And can I say tonight, if you have something in your life that you feel like God is not doing, there is a good chance that it's not his fault. It probably has more to do with us than it does with him. Amen. He is not in the letting down business. He is not in the forsaking business, but he is in the operating business. He is in the miracle working business tonight. But when it comes to this mother, She comes to him. She said, "O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. Matter of fact, I'd go as far as saying this. Not only did he tell her no, and he's going to, but the first time she speaks to him, he doesn't say anything. How many of you ever been in a place of prayer and felt like you poured your heart out to God and he didn't have nothing to say back? Oh my. How many of you ever wept and cried during an invitation or during a good song and you thought, "I've got to give it to God," and you felt like he wasn't even listening to what you had to say? I guarantee you that's how this mama felt when she has come before him tonight and she has poured out her petition about her daughter that is hurting and that needs help. And she's heard that Christ is the answer and that he could give the help that they need. But when she finally gets to him, he won't even pay her any attention. With the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach on this thought just for a moment. Mama means business. Mama means business. Now, I got a good mama. Anybody in here want to testify about a good mama in your life? My mama is that kind of mama that you don't mess with when it comes to her babies. Amen. You ever seen a mama bear protect her little babies? Amen. That's Faith Dixon through and through. And I guarantee you the majority of this room probably has a very similar testimony, that you had a good upbringing and that there was someone in your life that played the part of a mother, if not directly your mother. There was someone that loved and cared after you and you did not want to mess with them when it came to your well-being. I remember me and Jennifer got married. Jennifer was so shy and so bashful. You'll get to know her over the next 3 nights. Now, she ain't going to jump up and take a lap. And she ain't going to try to testify this week. She might be the first time, but more than likely she won't. But she, when we first got married, Brother Shane, she was so, I would say, backwards. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but she was just so to herself. I remember we went and sat down at a table with a preacher. We'd only been married a few months, and the preacher looked at her and he said, "Young lady, tell me about you. Where did you grow up? And was you raised in church? Does your daddy pastor somewhere?" And she literally looked at me for me to answer him, even though he was talking to her. I mean, she was bashful. She was shy. She didn't have anything to say. I mean, her personality was not the outspoken type. She didn't need to be seen. She didn't need to be heard. None of that. And I thought, man alive, I mean, if someone were to break in our house, she would sleep through it. I mean, entirely. Even if she woke up, she'd just lay there, let them take whatever they wanted, and she ain't going to say a word about it. Someone could stand up, kiss me up one side and down another, and she'd just sit there and wait for them to get through, never interrupt, never do nothing. And I thought, man alive, she'll never take up for nothing. But on February the 9th, 2016, and that oldest little girl that you just saw standing here singing beside me a while ago, Ella Reese Dixon, was coming to this world. Amen. And that doctor pulled that baby up and began to place her into Jennifer's arms. And I seen something in her eyes that I'd never seen before. Amen. I seen a response to life that I've never seen before. And then I remember when we took Ella home and we started going back to meetings and traveling again, brother. And I watched as people would reach down and pull those curtains across that little baby carriage and those little car seats, and I would watch something rise up in that little mama like I'd never seen before. Amen. Them grannies coming in there. Amen. Them Baptist churches, they just throw their cigarette out. Amen. In the backyard of the church house, and now they want to say, "What's in that little baby seat you got there?" Amen. And I watched Jennifer say, "That's mine." Thinking, "Dear Lord, Jennifer, we ain't gonna get invited back. Calm down a little bit." Something rose up. What I'm trying to get you to understand tonight is when it comes to babies, you don't play with mama. There is something that is built down inside each and every mother that I can't even comprehend. You can't even comprehend. Fathers don't understand it. You see, I was in that waiting room. I didn't sleep one bit because that bed was so uncomfortable. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? Wasn't even a bed. It was a couch. You know, and I didn't sleep good at all that night. And them nurses kept coming in there and waking us up, you know. And how's everybody doing? I'm like, well, I'm kind of thirsty. You think you could bring me something to drink? Y'all remember how what it was like? The reason why those mamas have a whole different outlook is because they have just walked through the jaws of death to bring something into this world that they've never seen before, that they've never held before, but they have fallen in love with over the past 9 months of their life. And when that little baby comes into this world, they are willing to do anything, say anything, or fight anybody to make sure that those babies have what they need in this life. And can you imagine a baby in need tonight? A little girl in need. And this woman knows within her heart that there's only one person that can help. There's only one person that can give them what they need. And he won't even give her the time of day. But this mama means business. And she is not leaving without something changing. Number one, I want you to notice the consistency of the mother. First off, we find her fear. She understands what is going on in this daughter's life. The Bible said that the Bible, it reads to us, "Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." This mother is full of fear because of the case that her daughter's in. When it comes to your situation with God, how has it affected you? Now, oftentimes we think living in fear is a bad thing. That is not always a bad thing. Sometimes it is that living in fear that drives us to the place of consistency that God sees that we mean business with Him. And she understood the case. Not only do we see her fear, but then we see her fight. The Bible said in verse number 23 that he answered her not a word. And the Bible said, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." This mother is pleading in the earshot of the Lord Jesus, and not only is he hearing it, but even the ears of the disciples are having to listen to what this mother is saying, because she is willing to fight with everything that she has to make sure that he understands the urgency that she has of a need. Oh, can I tell you, there's nothing wrong with bringing your need to God tonight and crying out to God. You say, "Well, Brother Jared, I've already prayed one time this meeting." It's okay, come back again. Hey, it's okay, come back again the next night. And it's okay, come back again the third night. And man, don't be afraid to pour yourself out before God. Matter of fact, I'm worried about those that will not commonly use the altars of God. Amen. If you want to see some business pick up in your life, make the altar a familiar place in your life. She is crying out because she's willing to fight. Not only do we see the consistency in her fear and in her fight, but then we see it in her faith. Yeah. Notice in verse number 25, the Bible says, well, we got to back up to verse number 24 and hear what he finally has to say. When he finally says something, the Bible said that he says to her, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshiped him. Now, I don't know if y'all are going to agree with this or not, but I'm going to try my best to get you to agree with me by the time that I'm through saying it. As oftentimes in our walk with God, we want to see God answer our prayer. And then after he's answered our prayer, that's when we want to break out into a testimony service. I'm glad there's a visiting pastor here that I know well, so I'll preach to him tonight. That way I don't step on nobody else's toes here at Gateway. Brother Shane, you ever had them? They needed to brag on God because he'd done answered some big prayers. He's done been moving in some big ways, and they want to give him glory because of what he did. They want to praise him for the way he's been blessing in their life. I don't know if you've seen what this mama that is on the trail of getting God to do something for her has done or not. But as soon as he has ignored her, she turns it up a little bit more. She starts crying after him, not just that he hears, but that others hear. And then finally, when he does give her the time of day, the only reason why he speaks to her is to remind her that he did did not come for people like her. I am not sent but for the house, the lost sheep of Israel. Can I tell you something? That is the Lord's way of saying, I did not come for people like you, but I came for people like them and for the other types of people. But you know what she did? Even after she was told no and was upset at what he had to say, the Bible said that she fell down and she began to worship him. Amen. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you worshiped him, even when he said no? We want to worship him when he says yes. We want to worship him when it feels good. We want to worship him when there's money in the bank. We want to worship him when the pantry's full. We want to worship him when the gas tank's full. We want to worship him when our health is right. Oh, but what about when the doctor shakes his head? Are you still willing to worship him? What about when the bank account's got more zeros than it's got other numbers? Are you still eager to worship him? What about when you're petitioning out for your children like she's done tonight, and he says no, and you've not heard from those kids that are wayward and walked out on God? Are you still faithful to throw up your hands and say, God, here's the thing tonight. We don't just worship him for what he does. We worship him for who he is tonight. Yes, have to worship him for who he is. And that mother, even in her no, worshiped him because of who he is, not what he's doing. Because if she's only going to worship him for what he's doing, then she should have got up and walked away, because he's not doing anything. Oh my. Oh, we see the consistency of the mother, but then we see the courageousness of the mother. Notice this with me in verse number 26. The Bible said, but he answered and said, it is not meet. No, notice this. Notice this. Let's back up. She fell and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help. Uh-oh, she's done changed her prayer. Now back up to verse number 22 and verse number 23. The whole reason why she's there is because she has a daughter in need. Ain't that right? That's the whole story. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She needs some help. Would you help her? He didn't answer her. And then when he finally answers her, he starts talking about how he is not sent but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, then she worships him and she says, Lord, help who? Not a daughter. Just help me. You know what she's trying to let him know? That her problem is so big that she just needs to cry out, it's me. You ever got in a place in your life where your problem was so big that you didn't even know how to pray for it? And all you knew how to say was, Lord, help me. And it probably at times really didn't have anything to do with you, but your situation was so big that it became you. And so she's changed her prayer from, Lord, help my things, even though her things were her daughter. Lord, help my things, help my situation. So she now gets so honest that she is simply crying out, Lord, help me. Boy, I've heard some good preachers preach on prayer. And I've read some good books on prayer. But the most powerful things that I've ever heard according to the prayer life that you and I should have is when we simply just get honest with God in our prayer life. You know, your words are not going to impress him. He made up them words. We borrowed them words that he's made. Whether they English, Hebrew, Greek, amen, Arabic, Spanish, amen, it's all wonderful, amen. Those are all his words. Amen. What he simply wants in your prayer time is not for you to let him know how big your vocabulary is, but how small you can become. Lord, help me. Note, he's got her. She has got his attention now. But he answered and said, it is not meet. He's fixing to insult her again. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, there's a whole nother sermon that could be preached, because here he is. He departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And this woman is a Canaanite. And she has no business being where she is. And some commentators, if that's the right word, some commentaries list that the whole reason why she would have been on the coast of Tyre and Sidon to begin with is because the life of sin that she would have chosen to live. And that it's even possible that her daughter has come out of that life of sin. And now we have a Canaanite, not in Canaan, living in a place that she should not live, having the repercussions of her sinful life, and now is trying to go back and act like a Canaanite, expecting the Lord Jesus to do a miraculous work for her. And here he is. He knows who she is. He's not fooled by her. He said, I am not me. I'm not sent for these types of people, for this type of person. And she said, but Lord, help me. And he said, it's not meet to take children's bread and to cast it to what? Gentile dogs. Uh-oh. He knew who she was. Can I tell you something? He knows who we are. Oh my, he knew who you was the day you knelt down, amen, in an altar somewhere, or beside your mom and daddy's bed, or pulled over on the side of the road. But somebody ought to be glad. This ain't the sermon, but since we're here, let's say it just for a moment. He came into his own, but his own received him not. But one day he turned from the Jews, and he looked toward the Gentile, and he knows who we are, and we're not worthy tonight, but he said that he loved us. City hell. Hallelujah. Now don't make me preach two sermons. Let me just finish this one. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. I like how she words some of these things. Truth, Lord. You know what she did is she agreed with him. It would do us all some good if we would get to the place that even when he says harsh things to us, we just accept it. When the preacher's preaching hard things and it steps on our toes, instead of trying to call the preacher and have a meeting with him and trying to straighten him out, it would just do us some good to accept the things that the preacher said. This Bible is full of things that'll step on your toes. If it ain't stepping on your toes, then I'm worried about them. And I'm not a mean preacher. Amen. I hope you don't leave here thinking, well, that Brother Jared, he likes to get rough. No, he don't. But I do like to preach the Word of God. And sometimes it will cut asunder. Somebody say amen. It is a two-edged sword tonight. Amen. It will pierce in the soul of man. Amen. But can I say, as soon as it does its piercing, there is a balm of Gilead that will come across your soul and will help you and give you strength. You've got to let it do what it's made to do. Yet, true, you're right, truth, Lord. Oh, I know who I am. I am a dog. Yet, the dogs still eat. The dogs still eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You know what she is saying tonight? She is showing her boldness in accepting who she is, but an expectation that still, even though who she is, that he'll still be gracious. I think Hebrews chapter number 4 said that we have access to come boldly before the throne of grace. Somebody like me and you ought not be around somebody like him. I shouldn't have liberty to have access to somebody as holy and righteous as God. But you know what Brother Paul told us? He said, but even though who we are, we can still come boldly before God in the throne room of grace. Not because of who you are, not because of what you've done, not because your accolades, but because of the one that lives on the inside of you. And he cannot be denied by his Father. So tonight I wish some Christian would say, God, I'm asking yet, and not because of me, but because of Jesus. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. We see her boldness. We see her belief and humility. Notice this. The Bible said in verse number 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And the daughter, her daughter, was made whole from that very hour. We find tonight in Mama Meaning Business, we find it takes consistency of the mother. It takes some courageousness of the mother. But here's the conclusion of the mother. She's not leaving until something changes. When's the last time you just purposed in your heart, I'm not giving up on this until something changes? You've prayed for years over situations, and at times you've hung them prayers up. Or maybe right now you're in that season where you've just not even prayed about it because you feel like, well, I've prayed for 5 years, I've prayed for 10 years, I've prayed for 15 years. I just ain't going to keep bothering God about it or waste my time praying. That ain't how that mama operated. That I don't believe that's how God wants us to operate. But I believe He wants somebody tonight that'll make up their mind that I'm going to bring it to God every day and every chance that I can. Every time that I get into my place of prayer, I'm going to bring it to God until something changes. Then answered Jesus, can we show some comparisons in our text tonight? Notice what happens in verse number 22. Woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. It starts out her calling out on him, O Lord. But at the end of this story, it's him calling out on her, O woman. Ooh, glory, hallelujah. Oh, she came with some expectation. She came full of faith, and she had no idea she was going to be denied. She had no idea he wouldn't even listen to her. She had no idea that he'd tell her no. As all she knew to do is come before him and cry out, oh, Lord. And on the end of the story, it is now the Lord saying, oh, woman. Yeah. Notice what happens next. In verse number 22, O Lord, thou son of David, David, my daughter, is grievously vexed. Notice what it says in verse number 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. We started out this story with a grievously vexed daughter of a devil. But tonight we are ending this story with a great woman full of faith. God can turn your story all around in just a few short verses in your life. God can change the circumstance. What does it take, Brother Jared? What does it take, preacher? All it takes tonight is someone to say, I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not throwing in my towel. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to keep believing God and just wait and see what He'll say about you. We've seen what she said about Him. But now we see what he is saying about her. Tonight, I read this story, and I mentioned that it helped me and Jennifer in a place in our life and in our faith. And whoever is coming to the piano, sis, if you want to come back, and musicians, y'all get something ready. I'll tell this and I'll be through. We had Ella, we had Isley, we had a good thing going. We thought we need one more. And boy, we had no idea what we was asking for. Amen. How many of y'all got three youngins? Let me see you raise your hand. Keep them up now. Let me see you good. How many of y'all wish you had stopped at two? No, I'm teasing. They make cars for families of four. Roller coasters are set up for families of four. Amusement parks are set up for families of four. Passes are set up for families of four, not families of five. What were we thinking? We needed one more. I really wanted my boy. I'm the last Dixon in our family. And I was praying and I was pleading and I was begging, God, I need a boy. God, give me a boy. Thought Isley was going to be our boy. And here we are. We got two girls. So we started having that conversation as husband and wife. When do you think? Same conversation we had for all of them, probably like y'all did. When do you think we should try? When do you think we should think about having another one? So through that conversation, we begin a process and trying to have another. We've already got two kids. When I'm trying to say this correctly, since I'm preaching, we know how to have children. But all of a sudden, it seems like we don't know how to have children. Because we thought that we would just decide we're going to have our third, and we'd get our third. But we didn't get our third. And that expectation turned into a question after about 3-4 months. And that 4 months turned into 6 months. And that 6 months turned into a year. And that year turns into a year and a half. And at about that year mark, Brother Brian, I start calling some friends. And I said, listen, I know this may not seem like much. God's already blessed us with two beautiful girls, but we're trying to have our third. And for some reason, it just seems like God is telling us no. So I tell a couple preacher friends, and I got them praying. And then that year turns into that year and a half. And boy, I can see the disappointment coming. And I can see the discouragement starting to swallow my house and creep into our lives, and our faith is not what it seemingly was like 2 years ago. And so I called some more friends, and I called some preachers that I knew that they could rattle the horns of heaven, and they would get a hold of God, and things would happen. And we kept praying, we kept praying. I never forget, I was talking to my sister one day. My sister's got 5 kids. She knows. So I am talking to her, and again, trying to say this, that everybody will not be offended, but she is telling me that you have to look at calendars, and you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to plan specifically. And so we're doing all of these things that someone with 5 children has already done. Matter of fact, she's got 5 here, and she's got 3 in heaven, so she's got 8. I said, okay, we're going to do. Well, I walked up on the porch, and there Jennifer was sitting out there on the front porch, and she said, what are y'all talking about? And I told her, she said, oh, no, I'm way past that. I'm over that. And preacher, when she said that, it was like a hot dagger done ran down into my soul, because I had been trying to have faith for me, and I had been trying to have faith for her, and I knew that we had already crossed the line. And that faith was no longer a part of this equation. And boy, my heart hurting. And I'd felt like God had finally gave his last no. And I remember when I walked off the porch that day, and I remember those thoughts in my head thinking, God, why did you let us down? And you have to understand now, it was after Asley's accident in 2021 that my wife was in a major car accident. Drunk driver come over into her lane, brother, and nearly took her life. And there she laid in a hospital for days. And there at the house, I had to take 3 months off from preaching and help her and take care of her and the babies. And tonight, you'd never even know she was in an accident. God was good through that. But Lord, why would you not just answer this one prayer that she's praying? Why would you not give her? Did you save her that night? Did you spare her life to only tell her no now? And I was having a hard time accepting that. Boy, we walked through that time and that season where it seemed like God kept saying no, no. I'll never forget, I was preaching one night at our church, our home church. We have an open-air tabernacle, and I was preaching out of the book of Psalm. It's probably somewhere along Psalm 139 or Psalm 138, somewhere in there, and David was pouring his heart out to God. And then before it was over with, David was worshiping God even in the midst of his trial. And right in the midst of that, middle of that message that night, the Lord began to deal with my heart. Here we were living in our moment of no. And I had hung it up because her faith was gone. Now my faith is gone. I'm not praying about it no more. We don't care about it no more. We've got 2 beautiful children, so we're going to be happy about it and just go on with our merry little 4-people family. And all of a sudden the Lord said, here's the problem. Is this whole time you've been asking me to do something, you have not worshiped me. You have not thanked me. Whether I've done it or whether I didn't do it, you're not waiting on me, or you have been waiting on me to do something so then you could worship me. But I'm wondering, will you worship while you're waiting? And right in the middle of that service, in the middle of that sermon, I had to look at that congregation. I said, congregation, I'll be right back. And I looked at my wife and I said, honey, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to lead, and I'm supposed to be the priest of our home, and I'm supposed to show us how to walk and how to act. I said, and I have not gave God the glory that he's worthy of. I said, but right here before you and right before these people and right in front of God, I want to say, if God never answers our prayer about that situation, he is still worthy of our praise. He is still worthy of our hallelujah. We had to do what that mama did, and that is simply worship, even when he says no. I think that was in May. In June, we took off. We went to Destin, Florida, celebrating 10 years of marriage. And when we got there, again, we're in church, and I'm going to try to tell a story as clean as I can. She said, Brother Brian, she said, I need to go to the store. I said, why? She said, I need to go buy a test. I said, oh, no. No, we ain't doing that. We ain't coming on no 10-year anniversary trip in Destin, Florida that I have spent good, hard-earned money on, only for you to come out with discouragement written all over your face and us to have to relive another no. And the next day, she said, I got to go to the store. I said, why? She said, I need a test. I said, we ain't doing it. And by the third day, she said, I'm going to the store. I said, why? She said, I'm getting a test. She walked in our little place we were staying, and she took that test in there. And here I am reading the box of instructions. I said, okay, it says it could take up to 10 minutes now. You got to make sure you put that thing on a flat surface when you get through with it. I'm trying to tell her, like, she ain't had two other kids and she don't know how to do this. And right in the middle of me telling her how to do it, on the other side of that door, I heard, uh-huh. And I went, wait a minute. If it would have been a disappointing uh-huh, it wouldn't have sounded like that uh-huh. And I said, what you mean, uh-huh? Brother Josh, she opened up that door. And when she opened up that door, tears, woo! They were flowing off of her cheeks, coming out of her eyes. She held that little test up that I'd been procrastinating on wanting to give because I was scared of another no. And she showed me that, and it was a yes this time. And you know what the Lord said right there in Destin, Florida? He said, thank you for worshiping me while you were waiting. Thank you for saying thank you, even when you thought I was saying no. And can I tell you tonight, that little old girl that's tearing up your nursery back there right now is a product of the promises of God, that if you'll be consistent, if you'll have faith, even when you don't know where it's coming from, God can change it all in your life. 9 months later, we named her after one of the best prayer warriors I'd ever met in my life, Sister Lola Cassidy, up in Sweetwater, Tennessee. Sang with her husband, Charles, that pastored up there for 40-something years before he went to heaven. Her name was Sister Lola. We named her Lola Joy because the Lord put some joy back in our heart that we thought that our lack of faith had taken from us. Every time I see that little girl when I'm out traveling, I go home last night, they were still awake when I got home. And when I walked into that house last night, here come Ella running at me and jumped in my arms. Amen. And here come Isley, she running, jumping daddy's arms. And little Lola was sitting in mama's lap, and she was watching big sisters run and have a good time. You know what she did? She jumped down out of mama's lap, and she started jumping up and down, and she started flinging her arms, and she gets excited, and she just does her hands like that. And her eyes get big. And she ran over there to me, Brother Shane. And she jumped at daddy, and I picked her up. And you know what else started jumping around? It was my soul and my spirit. And a reminder that God is still faithful. No matter what man's eyes think, he is faithful tonight. I don't know what circumstance you feel like God has been saying no in your life. But I wonder, can you become like this mother and mean business with God and say, God, I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting until something changes in my life. Here's the key. Here's the ticket. You cannot sit there and wait on him to change things. You cannot just punch your time clock Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and expect God to turn it all around. But you got to do it like she did it. And you got to worship him while you wait. And you got to be faithful in your place. And you got to know who you are. And you got to know who He is. And you got to accept those harsh things that He may say. And you got to accept the fact that you may not get the whole loaf, but the crumbs will do just fine. Woo, glory, hallelujah. The crumbs will do just fine until the rest of it gets here. Oh, I'm wondering tonight, will you mean some business with God in your situation? We're standing all over the house together. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you bless it now and use it for your glory. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Brothers, got our song tonight.
Page 71.
Page number 71. Would you mind the Lord? Would you bring him that issue? Would you bring him that problem? You feel like he's been saying no? Maybe tonight you just want to come and say, Lord, I'm coming to say thank you, even in my nose.
Sweet hour,
I'm going to worship,
prayer,
even though I've not gotten what I'm asking for.
Sweet hour of prayer, that